5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, go ahead. I am now recording.
Hello, is this Paul the Shy Yeti?
Now it's time for the serious podcast in the world. It's the Shy Yeti Podcast.
With me, Shy Yeti.
He's not that shy.
179. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Shy Life Podcast. Yes, it's me, Paul the Shy Yeti, back again for more chitter-chat and, silliness and, whatever usually happens in the Shy Life Podcast. So this time we're going to be, we've got a special guest. It's very exciting. What's wrong? Sorry, Cromarty's here. Cromarty, what's wrong? There may be some problem. You see, it will be. I'm sure it will be fine. Just you continue. It will be fine. Cromarty, what's going on? What on earth could be going on that is causing you such dismay? Well, Paul, you will see. First, I think we should run the theme music. Run the theme music, you say? Come on, you've got to tell me a bit more. What's going on? Well, Paul, something may be interfering with our connections to the outside world. What? You mean something that might threaten the possibility of us talking to our guest this episode? Yes, Paul, exactly. What is it, a technical problem? Of a sort, yes. Cuthbert is looking into it, and, let me just say that I think somebody may be responsible. Somebody? But who? Who could be responsible? Well, Paul, we think it might be Zap. We think that Zap might be trying to interfere with this show. Oh no, not Zap. Our long-term nemesis from another world. Yes, Paul, that very same Zap. Oh, good grief. I think you're right. We really ought to run the theme music. Let's do it.
What's gonna happen today?
Oh my god, it's enormous! It's the Shy Life Podcast!
The show is out of this world!
Oh dear, this isn't gonna end well!
It's a very strange show to me!
Oh, I'm really kissy, darling!
I asked for pies, that's all I asked for, pies!
He's crazy.
That's cool.
Those poor listeners, what have they done to deserve this, eh? Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Hi, listeners, it's me again, Paul the Shy Yeti. Wow. Oh, dear. Oh, good grief. Cripes, crikey. Yes. Hello. Now, it would appear that, there may be some problem. Not from this end of the show. I'll still be able to talk to you. Because I'm recording here and I don't think Zap can do anything about that. But it would appear that he's up to his old tricks again. And so let me explain. Our guest today is another podcaster. He does a show called Chewing the Cud with his friends. It's based up in Manchester. But Lee, I've known for a long time, like 15 years. Although we live in a totally different part of England, we met online back in the mid-noughties, maybe even the early to mid-noughties. And we've met up a number of times when he's been down in London and when I've been up in his neck of the woods. So yes, one way or another, I've not seen Lee for a while, but I was very pleased this year to discover that he was part of a new show. It's actually not just a podcast, as he will explain. It's kind of a vidcast and it's live streamed and it's sort of a news program, but they have a guest and Lee is sort of involved with the entertainment news.
It's Sunday afternoon in Manchester and that can only mean one thing. We're live from Islington Mill and this is Chewing the Cud.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Again, I've had a very busy week work-wise, but yesterday I went to Liverpool.
Oh, you went to Liverpool?
Mm-hmm. I went to some friends in Liverpool. I hadn't realised that it was the football thing.
Oh, were they playing football?
Well, there was a big Liverpool playing somebody in a big
match. Right, yes.
I don't know.
I saw a bit of that on the news.
Did they win?
Wasn't there something happening in Russia? Did Russia have something to do with it?
Well, they wanted to fly somewhere. Yeah. Who were they playing?
Ukraine, not Russia.
Is it? Oh, God, I don't know.
Kiev, that's that chicken thing, isn't it?
Kiev.
Chicken with garlic butter in.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, so there were, that was on. So
everyone was having Kievs, right.
They were all eating chicken Kievs in the street.
Right.
there were the tall ships are in there.
What's that?
Tall ships.
Literally tall ships.
You know, like old-fashioned with great big sails from
Oldie worldy
yesteryear.
Really?
Yeah. They're on the docks.
Oh, yeah.
So that was quite pleasant. But there was a lot of football people around. So that was a little bit... So in the Echo Arena, they were showing the football match.
Oh, yeah.
For people who couldn't get there. So there were a lot of groups of lads. I learned a lot of chants.
Oh, really? Were they quite sweary and...
Well, to be honest with you, I couldn't really tell what they were saying. Oh. It was kind of more, you know, as long as there's a noise and a few vowels, I think you probably have got a football chant.
They need to articulate. They need to be clear in what they're saying so that people can understand the chants. Otherwise, what's the point?
It was kind of... I mean, I don't know any of the names of the football players. There was... I want to say Ed Sheeran. That's a singer.
Yep.
That's slightly not different.
Is there a football name with Shearer?
Is there one called Jeff?
I don't know.
Don't know. Colin?
It's Ronaldo.
Rooney?
Don't know. Don't know.
Yeah, there was lots of them. It kind of went like...
Did you join in?
No, I didn't join in. I was like running for my life. And then it was like... Across the city, they all sort of joined in together. It was a bit like
a whole city of people going.
Yeah. So like, if one group started chanting by the docks, it would kind of like have that kind of Mexican wave effect. So by the time it got to like the centre, they were all doing it. It was like meerkats all kind of pop up like that.
Oh,
like that.
God.
Yeah. It was strange. But they take their football very seriously in Liverpool.
They do, don't they? Really?
Yeah, so I didn't. Make any fun of them.
So yes, Lee is our guest, and well, it would appear though that because we're not in the same city, we were going to be talking via Skype. Now, from what Cromarty's told me, Zap has done something to totally block Skype. I do think perhaps we could use our phones and maybe. You know, I could put him on speakerphone. But suddenly, mysteriously, the network has gone down. But I have thought of something else. It's something that Cromarty himself has hooked up via Cuthbert. And it's a little bit, well, sort of experimental, let's say. So it does mean that the sound may break up or it may get a bit more of an echo than we've had on previous shows. If that's the case, then, well... We'll do our best to present it to you in as clear a version as possible. I mean, I was very tempted just to say to Lee, let's leave it. Let's not do it today. Let's do something else. We'll come back at a different time. But that means that Zap has won. And who's to say that next time I try and do it, Zap doesn't interfere again? So, no, we're going to forge ahead and we're going to speak to Lee. If the sound becomes a problem, then we'll just do our best. And well, please bear with us. I just wanted you to know the reason. If the sound isn't as clear as usual, it's because Zap is doing his best to try and stop us all together. Anyway, okay, Cromarty, are you ready for us to start?
Yes, Paul. Yes, definitely. I think that you should definitely start.
Okay then, listeners. So, here's me having a chat with Lee. Lee Robertson from Chewing the Cud.
This time on the Shy Life podcast, I've got a new guest, a guest we've not had before on the show. It's my friend Lee Robertson. Hello, Lee.
Hello. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How are you? I hear you've been to the cinema.
I have. I've been to see Jurassic whatever it's called now. I'm not sure what
the title. Jurassic World Strikes Back 2, the sequel.
Yeah. Revenge of the
Velociraptor. Were the Velociraptors very glamorous?
Well, to be honest with you, the special effects were very good.
Yeah.
And it's always a bit of a thrill to see the T-Rex kind of roaring.
Yeah.
And they had some new dinosaurs, one that they've made up, and it was all very exciting. Yeah. But the plot was a bit poop. Yeah, so I kind of, when it finished, I was like, oh, right. It didn't really make a lot of sense in the end. So the first half hour was okay.
Mm.
The kind of middle and ending bit was a bit farcical.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. And is this based on a real life story? Is this a documentary, I take it?
It's true to life.
Yeah.
Obviously, they did have to get those dinosaurs off that island. I think some of them now have been integrated in society.
We have a Triceratops. So. Yeah, we have a Triceratops family that lives two doors down.
I think our own dear Prime Minister was a compy. at one point, so she's doing that for herself.
I thought she was a pterodactyl, maybe. So a few pterodactyls in the government there, but
yes, and there weren't many pterodactyls in the film. There was a few, but there wasn't a lot of pterodactyls, which is always a bit sad.
That's a shame.
But they had a new dinosaur and the other one that he trained.
I expect they're just going to this new dinosaur is probably going to be given a pop career, some sort of pop record deal, and next thing it'll be
But if you know, spoiler, it didn't live till the end.
Oh dear. Obviously, the that was just the dinosaur in the film. The real actor dinosaur can still have a record deal.
Oh yes, yeah. Chooses parts very. Well, I don't know. There was a boy or a girl. It didn't really clarify whether it was a boy or a girl. I'm not sure. It ate a lot of people, which is always fun. But I was laughing because it escaped, obviously, from wherever they created it, and kind of ran amok through this mansion, smashing through doors and walls and stuff. And then at one point, it tries to chase the child, because there's always a child in these
places. Oh, yeah.
So she inexplicably decided to get in bed, which is the, you know, the only way to be protected from a hybrid killer dinosaur. It was on the roof, and bearing in mind it had like crashed its way through the rest of the mansion, it spent 10 minutes delicately opening the door with its claw. And came in.
It knocked.
And I'm like,
it knocked. Are you all right, love? Are you all right? I'm just coming to eat you, all right? I don't know why I did a bad northern accent for the dinosaur. I apologise.
it was a bit odd, and I kind of thought it would have been more effective if she'd have kind of like looked over her covers, and the dinosaur was sat at her doll's table having a tea party with the dolls. Perhaps it had ripped a few of their heads off.
Maybe like some dinosaur dolls as well.
I could have written that script for them. It would have been better than some of the stuff.
We'll come up with something. It'd be good.
Yes, we will see what happens in future ones, because they've left it wide open to make more
12 billion
now
sequels.
That the dinosaurs are in the mainland of America.
Yeah, the dinosaurs in Manhattan.
Yes.
Dinosaurs in Venice. Dinosaurs everywhere.
Yes, help! There's a dinosaur in my soup. That kind of stuff. Yeah, they all went off into the forest to do whatever dinosaurs do. And I mean, I don't think they're going to hide for very long because they're massive.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, past. Was that a dinosaur? No. Reverse back and have a look. It's just sort of sat at the side of the road wearing a small hat.
Yeah. Commuting in London, like on the tube.
Squeezing on. But they've got a franchise, and they're gonna beat it to death.
Yeah. So I thought we probably ought to tell the listeners, well, kind of how, because listeners, you may not know this, but Lee and I are in different towns. Some of our listeners are in the States, so they may not realise that we're not just down the road from each other. We're a few hundred miles away.
I'm in the northwest of England. I always say to American people, between Manchester, which is famous for Oasis, the band, not the drink, and Liverpool, which is famous for Atomic Kitten, or the Beatles, whichever one is your preference.
And Manchester, Coronation Street, of course, although not many of them see Coronation Street.
Right? Yes, yeah.
But, when we have met up, we've met up in all sorts of different towns, because you're quite near to, I was saying to someone the other day, you're quite close to a lot of different cities.
It doesn't take very long to kind of get on the motorway and go to lots of different places.
Because I've visited
Wales, isn't far away, and places like that. Yeah, so yeah, we've met up.
We've met in
down here.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Of course, yes, we've met in London. We've met in London. We've met in Manchester. We've met closer to. I went to a wedding not too far from you.
I remember that very distinctly. Yes.
And there was that time I came up and we went to a pier somewhere by the seaside and I had an all-you-can-eat thing.
Was that Southport? It might have been.
It might have been.
Remember going to see Spider-Man?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was Southport. We went to Spider-Man and you fell asleep.
That doesn't surprise me. I fall asleep in most things.
It was that riveting. I fell asleep.
Yeah, the more action there is, the thing is, I've always quite liked the dinosaur films, but a lot of action films. I like horror films. So I don't mind action then, but sometimes when it's
they're kind of very much the same, aren't they? You kind of know what you're gonna get. I want to see that new horror film that's come out. What's it called?
I heard somebody talking about it on another show. It's
The Revenant. No, it's not called The Revenant. It's something to do with family.
Yes.
I'm not very good at horror films in the cinema. Because I have to hide under my coat usually. and I have a habit of shouting out at the screen, kind of like, "No, don't go down there," or "It's in the cupboard, it's going to get you." And that's a bit annoying for other people.
You get on very well in American cinemas, because that was my experience years ago of going to the cinema in America, was that people do commentate.
That's quite interesting. It's frowned upon here. They don't like it's okay if you crunch your way through a massive vat of popcorn for 2 hours, masticating it everywhere.
Yeah.
But if you kind of like, tell the characters not to go down the corridor, others will get eaten. They don't like it.
I think I saw a Scary Movie in New York, and that was the spoof on Scream, and everyone was screaming like sort of, "Oh no, you don't! Oh my god!" and I was like, "Gosh, we don't do this sort of thing back home. Goodness,
outrageous!" Sit down, feed, and quiet.
But
oh dear, am I interfering? Hello, hello, it's me, Zap. Can you hear me? Am I interrupting? Hello, yes, can you hear me? It's Zap. If you're going to talk to somebody, why don't you interview me? I'm sure I've got lots to say. Yes, I could say lots and lots of things. Yes, what?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Good grief, listeners. What did you do then, Cromarty? Well, I'm sorry, there's been a technical breakdown. But, we have got Lee still on hold. We'll try and patch you back in a minute. But, Zap tried to take over the airwaves, and we've managed to dispel him for the moment. Goodness me, goodness. I hope the recording's coming out. I'm not sure if Lee's hearing every word I'm saying, and his replies are becoming a bit choppy. With me, it's all Zap's fault. Oh, dear. I do apologise, listeners. Lee's a really good person to have on the show. he's keen to talk to us, you know, more than just the once, so... Oh, dear. Well, listen, whilst we're waiting for Cromarty to patch us back in, why don't I read a poem? Huh? All right. Let's see. What have I got for you? Oh, I can read one for... This is Roller Coaster, my old books. I don't know if I've read this one before. It's called Peace Treaty. Hold your fire, please don't shoot. Let's call it quits and split the loot. No need to fight, no need to scare. Hands off my wardrobe, cut and tear. No, don't you try it, you must be stopped. In the skip, my clothes you popped. Well, two can play that game as well. Rare vinyl Beatles records sell. My lovely trinkets liked so much were my possessions, do not touch. Shall I hold your mother up for ransom? Remember when you found me handsome. But your views have changed, you've changed your ways. Hope you'll change your mind, it pays. No need to fight, can do this gentle. But you're psychopathic, completely mental. So choose your weapons, come fight with me. Peace treaty broken, World War III. This one's called Roller Coaster. I am the driver with a racing car heart. Hark at them screaming, this is only the start. Faces are reddened with hair that's gone frizzy. Crushed up like sardines, frustrated and busy. Turn a new corner, brake screeching on rails. Hold tight or pray if all else fails. One man's lost his dinner, another his drink. One woman's pacemaker has gone on the blink. Oh, the thrill of the ride, oh, the thrill of the chase. The rush of the wind and the breeze on your face. Passengers calling, ride's only half done. They're panicking now, but there's nowhere to run. Around and around, sweeping on out. They're banging the windows, you can still hear them shout. Over rattle of carriages, the rumble of tracks. Hundreds of travellers with panic attacks. The whole place is shaking, the carriages jump. We're nearly there now as the travellers slump. The train slows its journey. The underground crew say, please mind the gap. Next stop, Waterloo. Well, there you go. Some poems from Roller Coaster.
Hello, darling. It's me, Bettina Dupre. I just wanted to leave a message to say I am so sorry that you're having trouble with Zap again. Why doesn't that man just go off and cause trouble somewhere else? For goodness sake, he's a shapeshifter. He could be having all sorts of fun pretty much anywhere in the galaxy, and yet, no, he has to come back and cause trouble for you. Oh dear, I do feel very cross about it. He's a troublemaker, Bettina. He just likes to cause trouble, that's all. Yes, you're right. Absolutely, you're right. Oh dear, I do hope that he doesn't spoil your show too much, Paul. I'm really enjoying what we've heard so far, but it's just not acceptable. No, it's not. It's not acceptable at all. I just don't know how you're going to stop him. I'm sure Cuthbert and Cromarty will be able to work some way of, you know, sorting out all of the interference somehow. Oh dear. Yes, I think so. I hope so. Anyway, we'll speak to you soon, darling. Keep up the good work, hey? 1 million kisses. 1 million and one kisses, darling. Yeah, yes. 1 million and one kisses. Damn, yes, that's my line. Oh, sorry.
Hello, it's me, Martin. I'm not sure if we are able to provide you with any clips this time because Cromarty is very busy trying to, you know what he's trying to do. He's trying to keep the show together for you. And although I have sorted through a few things, there's stuff that I need to do to help Cromarty. So I promise you that we'll do our very best to make sure that you get some sort of recording of your chat, and I hope we won't involve having to edit too much out. Oh dear, that Zap, what a troublemaker, eh? What a troublemaker. All right then, it's me, Martin, saying yes. All right, okay.
Hello, Paul, it's me, Yeti Uncle John. I just wanted to say it's very annoying what you're having to go through. I sympathise. I hope that Cromarty and Cuthbert can, keep things under control. That Zap, oh, he's a troublemaker. He's a one-man riot, that man. Oh, dear. someone needs to do something about him, but it's just very difficult when you don't know where he's going to pop up from. It's so annoying for you. All right. Oh, good luck, and I'll see you soon. Sorry, I'm busy packing again for the my trip and stuff. Yes, I should be going up to space soon. I just hope I don't bump into Zap. If I bump into him, he'll get a punch up the hooter. I tell you, a punch up the hooter. Yeah, all right. So this is me, Yeti Uncle John, saying goodbye for now. Yes, goodbye for now. Hello, Paul. It's me, Cromarty. You can go ahead and say some more now, okay? All right. Yes, right. Listeners, there's some more conversation coming up now between Lee and I. I do apologise if there's any patchiness, but Cromarty and Martin and Cuthbert are doing their very best to try and get as clean a copy of what was said as possible. So, handing back to me and Lee.
I was going to ask you, because you are part of is it a podcast? What would you call it?
It's a live filmed podcast.
Yes.
So it goes out live on a Sunday and it's live streamed.
Yes.
And then it gets edited and then put up again for people to kind of look at whenever they want to. I'm not very good at the technical side of things, but I do know it's live. So it goes out live on a Sunday, and we have a guest, and it's in a mill in the middle of Manchester. And then so people can watch that with all the mistakes that get made, and then it gets edited into in a very presentable form, and then people can go and look at it on the website and.
But it's also on iTunes, so you can listen to it as an audio, which is what so far that's what I've been doing, because I find
I just turn up and talk.
Yes, I know. Yes, it's very glamorous. I'm doing my live show tonight, and it's just me sitting in my living room. I don't even have a microphone. I just talk into the computer.
It looks glamorous, but it isn't, because it's on the top floor of an old mill, and the other floors underneath it are kind of used by kind of creative and artistic people to do creative and artistic things. And we've kind of like got the floor that's kind of like would be very good in a horror film, and it's all kind of like lit with lovely lights and stuff. But then as soon as they all get turned off, the spiders come back in, and then it goes really scary.
The dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs, yeah, they come down from the ceiling. So it looks glamorous, but it's not massively glamorous.
I get to listen to a lot of podcasts while I'm at work, because I have quite a commute, but then I also do stuff at work where I'm able to kind of do cataloguing, but also listen to podcasts. So I haven't watched the visual version yet. I've only listened to the podcast version.
Oh, right. I to be perfectly honest with you, I don't watch it back and I don't listen to it back because I don't like the sound of my voice. And it's very weird seeing yourself on a camera, kind of like, then you think, oh, I don't do that. Well, obviously,
we ought to tell the listeners what the show is. It's called Chewing the Cud, is that right?
It is. It's called Chewing the Cud, and if you type in like Cudcast into your web engine search of choice, it should come up. We've had a little bit of a break over the last 2 weeks because people have been on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But we are back on Sunday, next Sunday, and our guest is going to be a porn star.
Yeah.
So I will be clutching at my pearls and kind of, goodness gracious. So that should be quite interesting.
Yes, you've had before? You've had was he a witch?
Yes, I did. We had a male witch.
Yes.
Who was telling us all about the kind of things that he does. That was quite interesting. Who else have we had on? We've had some drag kings on.
Oh, yes.
And they were very entertaining. They were telling us all about sort of how drag kings came about and the culture.
Yes.
We've had... We've had the Village Bakers from Manchester.
That's
from,
right,
from
yes.
Canal Street in Manchester.
The gay rugby team?
We did, yes. We had the manager of the gay rugby team. And we also had the last podcast, we had a poet.
Yes, I heard that.
I'm assuming you, as you're a poet yourself, you will know him.
Yes, of course. Obviously, probably. I don't know if I've heard that episode, but but I've heard all the. That one might not be available on podcast as a podcast yet, but.
I must have not put it up. But he was very entertaining. He was. You see, for me, when people say poetry, I'm kind of like, oh, Pam Ayres, yes, I'm aware of that. But it's moved on slightly since then.
Well, I beg to differ. Not in my world, it hasn't. Most of my...
He was really interesting. It was really good. So, yeah, we've had lots of different people on. And we're always looking for different sort of interesting people to come on to have a little bit of a chat. We're hopefully going to have a taxidermist come on one week. We are possibly going to have some quite famous sort of people, and we're going to have a singer called Bright Light, Bright Light.
To
do a little bit of a chat with us. So yeah, it's really interesting.
He's really good. I like some of his stuff that I've heard. In fact, one of my friends in America who's a podcaster, of all the people, it was him who tipped me off about Bright Light, Bright Light.
He seems like a really nice person.
Yeah.
And he always kind of replies to messages and stuff, and his music's really good as well, so that always helps.
Yeah, because he does live stuff on Facebook as well, doesn't he, where he kind of comes on and play and sings a song or... I've seen him do that. Talking of music, if I was going to say, like, what is your favourite era of music, or what are your particular favourite singers, what would you choose?
Ooh, yeah, you see, it changes a lot, but I'm always a bit of a kind of 80s, 90s, so I'm, you know, all the usuals, Madonna, those kind of singers. I prefer Kylie to Madonna, because I think Madonna's a bit colder. And kind of, you know, if you met her, she'd probably like punch you in the face.
Kylie would be lovely. I feel much the same. In fact, I was asked by a listener. Like, I sometimes get sent questions in by listeners. They're usually sort of kind of slightly weird off-center questions, and I was asked who I would like to it was initially who would I like to share a bath with, but I kind of turned it to who would I like to share a jacuzzi with, and I thought you can't go for anyone terribly hunky, that would just be too distracting, so I suggested that I would like to share a jacuzzi with Kylie. So I thought she'd just be a giggle, she'd just be nice to.
You'd have to make sure she didn't kind of sink beneath the bubbles, because she's very tiny.
Yes, I know. You know, maybe she'd have to have a sort of armbands or something.
Yes, or perhaps just float in the soap dish.
Yeah,
just sit in it.
Yeah, exactly. But I like sometimes one of the things we've been doing on, because with this show we do everything from, you know, quite normal conversations to sort of semi. Strange dramas where I end up, you know, in another dimension or whatever. So listeners never quite know what they're going to get with this show. But one of the things we've done, which is slightly more normal, is my friend Nick and I have been sort of initially started because BBC Four was doing their Top of the Pops repeats of the 80s Top of the Pops. But what we've been doing is sort of looking at what was number one in a certain year. But also comparing, and sort of going through the big hits of each year, and but also comparing what was happening in the States at the same time, because it's often similar but also quite different, or songs that didn't get to number one over here did, and vice versa.
I always kind of thought though that we had more American acts come over here and be successful than British acts went over to America to be successful.
It's
perhaps changing slightly, but
there's definitely been
A lot of our acts ever became massive in America. Kylie did, but not massively.
There's been people like, you know, times when, say, maybe Britney was doing better over here than she was in the States, and then maybe it swapped back over and she was doing better over there than over here. And
and it's always really interesting to look at, like, the chart histories of artists. So you would assume that, you know, if you're an American, all your songs would be hits in America.
Yeah.
But then you look at, like, Britney, and there's, like, songs that were big hits over in England, but they weren't really very big hits in America, and you think, I think the Madonna duet that she did wasn't a particularly very big hit in America, but was a big hit over here, wasn't it?
Around the time when she was having all the stuff where she shaved her hair off, that album was really big over here, and all the singles were really big over here, but I don't think they were in the States. But I like all that. When we do the shows, when we're talking about different years, my friend Nick's very good with remembering things. Well, he's a bit older as well, so he can sort of remember a bit more. But I do all the statistics with my Wikipedia pages on hand.
Good old Wikipedia.
But of course, like, we were doing 1987 a few weeks ago, and that's the most recent episode I've released. And I had all my facts and figures, and I went and pressed, knocked the windows, and just lost all of the stuff I kind of. I was like, right, just going to have to get those back again. Luckily, it wasn't a live episode. But
what do you do with that Wikipedia? I do. I mean, I remember reading, like, there's like acts from the UK that you thought, why were they so? You know, they were okay over here. They did okay, but then in America they were huge. I think Sam Fox was massive in America for a few years. And had massive big hit, big hit.
Yeah.
And other people you kind of thought, oh really? It was a Scottish lady. 9 to 5, she worked 9 to 5.
Oh yes,
Gina Easton.
Gina Easton, yeah.
She was big in America for all the sugar rolls and all that kind of stuff with Prince.
And she was, but then some of those really big hits she had with. Some of the one she did with Prince was really big, but some of those American hits weren't so big over here. So it's kind of, but she started off having hits over here. I remember, I think it was her. I don't know if it was like a 1983 or 1984 episode of Top of the Pops. There was I've forgotten the name of the song, of course, but there was a really good single, which it was just before probably she went over to America, and it was this really catchy song she did, and it didn't do that well over here, but I was like, I'd have bought that if I'd have been like not 10 or something.
I liked that when she kind of like went a bit sexy in the like 80s and did that kind of Prince stuff with, was it The Lover in Me, and I liked that, but she kind of originated that weird hybrid accent that Nadine from Girls Aloud has, isn't she? She kind of became like, you know, hey, how are you? I'm doing well. Well, she's not Irish, obviously. She kind of had that odd transatlantic weird thing. And because Madonna did it for a little bit, didn't she? With the British thing, she kind of sort of like she came from the southern counties and was like, hello everybody. And he was like, really? It's a very interesting thing, isn't it?
I was quite keen on Girls Aloud and Sugar Babes back in the sort of noughties. That was my last really favourite period of more modern stuff, I suppose. That era of sort of late noughties where it was all electropop and
And they were massive, weren't they? Didn't matter who was in the Sugar Babes, they would kind of like remove one and put somebody else in, and they'd still have like big hits. But then it all kind of went a bit wrong for them, didn't it? They kind of I do remember talking to somebody who was a driver for a record company, and he said that he was employed by their record company to kind of ferry them around and stuff, and he said they really didn't like each other. So the two, is it Mutya? Mutya and what was she called? Barbara, I'm going to call her.
Yeah.
Mutya and Barbara didn't like Heidi. Used to travel separately, and he said that Heidi used to kind of sit in the back of the limo, chain smoking and crying, and the other two had gone off. Which I think is really, really a bit sad, isn't it?
They're supposed to have had that sort of private language that they taught that Mutcher and Babs, as we like to call it. Who isn't her name? That's not her name. We've forgotten her name. But anyway, my own little story about the Sugar Babes was around from that era, where Siobhan, that first lineup, and Siobhan must have left, but I don't think that had been announced. But I had started working in London, and I used to go off and sometimes walk around Hyde Park, and I was walking around the Serpentine, which is the lake, listeners, and I saw Mutcher and I saw Barbara being made to run by some trainers, but there was no sign of Siobhan, and I thought, oh, that's weird, why is two of Sugar Babes being made to run, because they were still quite, maybe had sort of let's just say when they came back for the second album, they were all glamorous, weren't they? They were much more...
Yes, there was less puppy fat, top shop, more kind of like gym-toned design.
And I think that's the answer. I saw them being transformed, or at least I saw Mutcher and Barbara.
Keisha.
Well, her friends called her Barbara.
Oh yeah, everyone called her Babs. Anybody was close to.
So that explains that. I do find that some of the newer singers these days are a bit boring, though, compared to
they're a bit kind of formulaic. I mean, I don't even know. When we were talking on our podcast the other week about pop stars, we were talking about Kylie's 50th, and we were like, around, we're like Dua Lipa, and I'm like, I don't even know who she is. I know she did a song about rules, rule one, don't leave towels on the bathroom floor, rule two, don't use all the milk, that kind of stuff, but I haven't a clue what she looks like.
I think we were spoilt with Lady Gaga being so extreme and so sort of, you know, the massive long videos with Beyonce and wearing silly dresses and stuff. And then suddenly, when she stopped doing that, it was all a bit, it's a bit boring now.
Where's the fun gone, girls and boys? Bring back a bit of fun. So I'm not keen on what's-his-face from One Direction that's going out with Chaz. It's not called Niall. It's not called Harry. I know the names vaguely, but I can't.
I never paid enough interest in them to.
But he's all very gone all a bit hip hoppy and thuggy, hasn't he? And that kind of thing. No.
I was listening to a band called Years and Years.
I like Years.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed listening to their stuff, and there's an album by this is quite random, because you know how you can just be, I'm listening to a podcast and somebody mentions something, I thought, I'll try that, or you're on YouTube and it says you might like this, and sometimes I do quite like that, and I've got Amazon Prime, so often you can just I'll try it then. You don't have to pay for you kind of pay for it in advance, haven't you? There's an album by a singer called Michelle Branch, who I think had quite a lot of albums in the early noughties and then didn't do anything for years. And I just randomly listened to her album, and that's more like I don't know. Trying to think of a comparison.
I've heard a name that I wouldn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
What she sang. I'm quite into churches at the moment.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Not the actual places.
The
band.
Yeah.
And I'd never really heard of them before. And then I saw them on some television program, and I was like, you're a bit groovy. And downloaded some of their new stuff. And they're probably like 12.
I think I had their first album, but I don't know if I've heard their more recent stuff. So I must catch up with. Let's catch
it's
up.
It's very, very kind of electro poppy, but not too poppy. And yeah, it's quite occasionally I kind of like the music that I like, and then occasionally like a new artist will kind of perk my attention. But they usually tend to have like some sort of like retro feel about them that I kind of like think, I like just that long, you see. I like a chorus and I like a verse.
Yeah. I was re-listening to the Scissor Sister albums last week because I enjoyed them, and I know Jake Shears from Scissor Sisters has got a solo album coming out. So.
Yes, it is coming out. Although I saw him on TV in the single, it's very good. I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. But it was very Scissor Sisters, which you would expect.
Yeah, it's probably called Barbara. Just to say.
Yeah, it's really called Barbara. Barbara. Just that's it, Barbara.
Yeah. They actually, Scissor Sisters did have, they had Laura and they had Mary, so it wouldn't be so far for it to be called Barbara. I'm reading his autobiography actually at the moment, and that's really.
I haven't started it yet. But
it's good, yeah.
Saucy, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I think it only sort of goes. It doesn't go too far into them being famous, it sort of goes up into about the. Maybe the end of the first album, beginning of the second. So it's quite good about the sort of how they got to where they were.
Because he wrote the songs for the Tales of the City musical, didn't he? That was on in San Francisco.
Yes, which I never heard. I don't know whether that got released as like an album or because I never sort of heard those songs.
No, I didn't, and I think it would be because I love Sex and the City. Sex and the City.
Tales of the City. Yeah.
Tales of the City. Yeah. I like Sex and the City as well.
Yes, me too.
But I've never heard any of the kind of music from it, so that might be something.
Because they're supposed to be doing a new Netflix series of Tales of the City. Oh, well, it's supposed to be. Yeah. I think it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be based on any of the books. It's supposed to be like a modern sort of reboot or sort of. I'm not quite sure how they're going to do it.
They have Olympia Dukakis in it.
I think they are, and Laura Linney, so as long as they're in it.
Oh, that'd be good. Yes, that was really good. I did enjoy that. And I love the books.
When I was in France, I've just come back from Marseille not long ago, and they... Because when you're in a foreign country and, like, you try and flick through the TV, and if it's a country which isn't... English isn't the main language. You sometimes don't find many. I end up watching sort of soap operas just to try and work out what was. I was watching this series. I don't know what was going on, but they all seemed to have beards, even the ladies, and it was quite compelling. But one of the channels I did find was a music channel, and they'd sort of play one sort of hit that was like well known around the world, and then a song that had been big in France. And I discovered this singer called Mylene Farmer, who is like the French Madonna.
I've heard of this lady. Yes, I've heard she's massive in France, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah. She's and all of her videos are quite sort of filmic and quite.
I have seen a couple of them. Yes, and I've got a friend who's really into her. They're quite dramatic, isn't it? It's not poppy, as in like Madonna-y poppy. It's quite sort of.
Although, because she's because she's been around such a long time, I think she's changed with the time. So I think her more recent stuff is more because she's actually had. I think this seems to be the difference in France is that whereas Madonna really struggles to have a top 40 singles hit, she still sells her albums, but. In France, Mylene Farmer is actually more successful than she's ever been, and she had like six. She's had like six number ones in a row in the last couple of years.
And that's really unusual because the music industry is very ageist.
Yeah.
It's once you hit 35, you won't get. It's unlikely that you'll get a hit single. Your albums will sell and your tours will do well, but which is why Sia. How do you say her name? Sia,
I think,
it's very clever the fact that she never shows her face, so nobody really knows how old she is. She could be 108. Yeah. Nobody has a clue.
Yeah, because her and also she did quite a few albums back in Australia. I actually was kind of into her because a friend of mine sort of said, "Oh, I think you might like her." And this was sort of before she had any hits in the UK.
Yeah.
So I sort of got in, liked her albums, and kind of slightly moved on. But then suddenly, she's having massive hits. And
she must be rolling it. She writes songs for everybody, doesn't she? And she always seems to be in the charts.
Yeah.
The singles charts, whereas a lot of the sort of more older, I think people like Katy Perry and they're starting to struggle get hits in the top 40. It's a shame, really, when you kind of like think, well, just because you've turned a certain age doesn't mean that's it.
There's a few people I like who have never done quite as well. Katie Tungstall, I mean, she did do well to start with, but she's done had some really good albums. There's a few people that I sort of follow and buy their stuff, who mainly female vocalists, who I think, you know, I don't hate Adele, but I don't think she's very exciting, and I think there are other female vocalists who are much better, who don't get the attention.
It's music's very disposable now. It's very kind of in the UK, it's very reality TV based, and even that's struggling. You know, if they don't get a hit song straight away, then they're gone, aren't they? They get their contract taken off them, and they're forgotten about.
I've found that when I've kind of, say, for instance, I was looking at that Years and Years recently, and I think they had like a number one and a number two hit, and then the rest of their singles haven't. You know, so they must have been really big in 2015 for, you know, a couple of months. But I mean, I'm sure they'll do something again, and have more success. But it seems like their big success was sudden, and then suddenly, you know, something happened, because the later singles weren't as popular. But
it's a strange. See, I like to have a CD, actual physical CD, so not an album. I like to read the notes.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not bored with the whole vinyl thing, because people keep saying, "Oh, you must get a record player." I'm like, "Well, I had one when I was like 18, and it was CAC." Yeah. And they're like, "No, they're so much better now," and I'm like, "No." I kind of understand the kind of nostalgia-y type vibe of them. But I'm not convinced.
I know. A couple of years ago, when I wasn't, I wasn't very well for a few months and was off work, I kind of bought a record player then, because I still had some vinyl in the house that I hadn't played, and it also became a bit of a thing when I first started the podcast. I kind of talked with people about sort of random vinyl stuff and reading bits off the notes, the sleeve notes, which sounds quite dull when I mention, so I say it like that, but I'm so short of material. But I kind of used it whilst I wasn't well and wasn't at work, and I was in the house more, but I haven't used it much recently.
But then it's massive, though, isn't it? They're selling more vinyl records than they are CDs in some areas. And when they reissue, I mean, there was the thing like this month where Sainsbury's were reissuing Kylie's Light Years, they went mental. People buying them left, right, and centre, and then putting them on eBay for £300 and that kind of stuff. And I kind of thought, that's quite, you know, interesting. But I wouldn't buy one just for the sake of having one.
Do you remember that on the CD of Light Years there was a hidden track that you had to start the album and then sort of rewind it to actually better hear it, and it was called a song called Password, and it was one of my favourite songs on the album. When it came out, I think I was still at the stage where I had CDs, but I still had a tape Walkman, so I do compilation tapes, so I desperately wanted to kind of get that onto a tape to listen, you know, so I could, but because you had to kind of rewind it before you could start recording it. Was it you who mentioned on your show that you've been to see Kim Wilde?
I did go and see Kim Wilde, yes.
That was exciting to hear, yes.
Earlier this year. It was, She was very good. It was slightly too rocky for me. Yeah. Very guitar heavy. I'm not a massive sort of rocky fan. But she was it was really good. She did quite a lot of stuff from her new album. She did quite a few of the sort of like well-known hits like Never Trust a Stranger and You Came and
I have got the new album. I really like the first single that they did off that, because what I didn't realise is, because on that she sort of sings with a man, what I didn't realise was that the man is her brother.
It's her brother, yes.
Yes, who's in the band.
And her daughter was on stage as well. Scarlett was... Yes. Kind of like the backup singer, and they, at one point they did a song called One Step Closer, or which she did back in the kind of like mid 80s. It was a duet with and it was really good, and she said, I haven't played this for years. She said, but I'm gonna, you know, and it was really, really good. She obviously ended with Kids in America, which I think at one point had like something like a 5-minute guitar solo where they were all playing the guitars together. But in general, and she looked really good, and she had you know, good rapport with the audience. Her latest album, she said, was influenced by her belief in UFOs and extraterrestrials, and then that's the part where you kind of think, oh, hello. She was like, I think she was in her garden one evening looking at the stars, and she saw a UFO, and that inspired her album. And who are we to say that?
Well, we do have one of our regular cast members on the Shy Life podcast is an alien called Ick. So I'm aware that aliens do exist, but whether Kim saw one is a totally different matter. Yeah. Maybe it was Ick that she Ick is our alien. Maybe she saw Ick. Over.
Perhaps it was. I don't know. Perhaps it was Michael Jackson.
Yes, could well be. One of the things about Kim Wilde is that all these Top of the Pops repeats, I've sort of become aware of some of the singles that perhaps weren't as big as some of her early stuff or the late 80s stuff, and I found one or two that maybe perhaps only got into the top 20. That I really sort of liked, but I wasn't aware of. There's that sort of period between about 82 and 88 where she was still releasing singles, but they weren't massive hits.
Yeah, they were still a bit indie, weren't they? The stuff.
Yeah.
But I think in general, it's nice to see a established. They call them heritage acts, don't they?
Yeah.
Which is really kind of like insulting, but like Rick Astley, his last album was massive, and he's got a new album coming out in a couple of weeks. And it's really nice to see them coming back with new stuff. Although there is kind of that element when you give a go to see, you kind of like think, when they say they play the hits, and you're like, yay, and you sing it along, and then they go, oh, I'm going to do a new track, and you think, oh, no.
I don't mind if it's been an album I've liked, like I did like the last. I quite like the last Kylie album. Some of my favourites on that were the extra tracks. One singer from the 80s that I've kind of listened to recently is Hazel Dean, because are you aware that she did these ABBA covers?
I am. I have had a slight spat with Miss Dean on the Twitterverse. Quite recently, but I knew that she'd got an ABBA covers album out. Yeah, is it a producer called Matt Parr?
That's right. Yes, yeah.
Who does a lot of kind of retro type remixes and stuff. I think he's produced quite a lot of it. And I quite liked Hazel Dean, and I didn't mind her ABBA album until she kind of went a bit Hove-based on Twitter, and I was like, not keen on you anymore.
This is the trouble. This is the trouble. Sometimes people can say stuff, and it can really put you off. And sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you have really really nice sort of comments, and that you do, or you say something, and then the you might comment on a star, you might comment on a song, and then the actual singer kind of goes, "Oh, thanks," and you hadn't copied them in. So you do.
Yeah, I do remember last year having because I always forget that not most celebrities, but kind of a lot of celebrities read the comments that people put.
Yeah.
And I was having a conversation with somebody about Nikki French,
mm-hmm.
who. Is kind of like a high energy star.
Didn't she do a 90s version of Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Yes, she did.
Which was a
and she was in. She was a Eurovision. She did. Don't play that song again.
Uh-huh.
And she'd had a Christmas album out. And I was having a conversation with a Twitter friend saying, "Oh, I really don't like it. It's just not my thing. I find it a bit cheesy." And I hadn't realised that he'd actually put her name in it. And she responded. And I was like, "Oh, my God." She was like, "I'm really sorry that you didn't like my Christmas album, because you can't please everybody. But hopefully you'll like that, like my new song." And I was like mortified, because I was like, "Oh, my God, she actually read it." And I was like backpedaling and going, "I don't hate it. Just that, you know, that Christmas music, you know, Christmas music." I was like, "Oh, no." So I am aware that it can tend to be not the mega famous celebrities, but the kind of lower level celebs.
Yeah, I've had a few sort of brief or comments from people, and it's sometimes it's been people I've been really sort of, you know, really surprised by, and other people who are just, you know, not only a couple of steps up from our level of doing things, and they don't even respond, and you think, well, you know, you're not actually a famous person. Why? And I've just said something really nice, and you've not even liked it. So
and I have more followers than Hazel Dean, and that made me feel better.
Yeah.
It's nice when a celebrity retweets you or replies. Holly Johnson follows me on Twitter, and occasionally he'll comment. I think, "Oh, that's really nice." You're looking at something. Debbie Gibson follows me on Twitter.
That's cool. That's cool.
Amazed. She's fantastic.
I've had the odd sort of response from Armistice Maupin going back to Tales of the City. Because I've sent off signed copies of books from him, and I think I asked him to sign it to Shayeti once, and then so when it arrived, I sent a picture of me holding it, and he said, "Oh, good to put a face to the Shayeti," and I've had, and that's just, you know, one or two or three times where he's reacted to things. It's nice when.
It's nice when they kind of respond, because it's their fans that. Are the ones that kind of have given them their.
I've had a Doctor Who companion actress tell me to keep warm when I was standing on a cold station. I made some comment, and she said, "Oh, make sure you get in the warm soon."
Who was that? Which one was that? I don't really know.
I think it was Nicola Bryant, who played Perry back in the 80s. She was Colin Baker's sort of end of Peter Davison. Baker, I've got a lot of friends who are Doctor Who fans, and I'm a Doctor Who fan, so I tend to know when it's a big series like that, you tend to know which of the people are the most the best ones for sort of keeping in touch with.
For the first time last year, I went to a convention, one of those kind of like fan conventions things. It was a horror one, and I found it a bit depressing. I was kind of like, "Oh, it was kind of billed as this massive thing." It was in Liverpool, and it was kind of in like an open warehouse type place, and all the people that were. The celebrities were kind of all lined up against the back wall on these kind of like fold-out tables and chairs, and there was all this like metal fencing, and they just sat there waiting for people to come in and say hello to them and pay them for whatever. And it was a little bit sad, because there was nobody, you know, I didn't know who any of them. I knew Caroline Munro.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But the rest of them, I was like, no idea. There was one of the people, one of the Frog Brothers from The Lost Boys. There was, like, people that played monsters. Well, obviously, you don't...
Yeah.
They're not sat there dressed as dressed as the monster, and they're normal person with a picture behind them, and I found it all a little bit sad. I wanted to kind of go up to them and say, "I don't really know who you are." But I think you're very nice. I
used to go to a lot of mainly Doctor Who conventions back in the 90s up until like the mid noughties, and some of the best things about it were the discos at the end of the night, and it would obviously some of the guests, they come in, they do their thing, they do their autographs, and then they go home. But there were one or two guests who would quite happily stay till the disco, and my friends and I would one occasion, or more than one occasion, were on the disco dancing with Michael Sheard, who played Mr. Bonson in Grange Hill. But also had quite a few parts in Doctor Who. He sadly passed away now, but he was, even though he usually played baddies or nasty people, he was the nicest, most generous, lovely person that you, sometimes that, you know, you kind of meet people like that, and you think, oh, they're going to be like their TV role, or they're going to be scary, but they're actually not at all.
I wonder if they ever get really irritated that they're remembered for one thing and they've had like massive careers. I remember last year going to some sort of 80s like band thing, and they had lots of different acts in the 80s, and Katrina in the Waves was singing. And as far as I'm kind of aware, I only know two songs. Walking on Sunshine and
Love Shine a Light. Yeah, Love Shine a Light.
So the rest of the story was kind of like covers. And then obviously she has to sing Walking on Sunshine. Yeah. And she must have sung it so many times, and at one point in the chorus she was like singing, "I'm walking on sunshine," and then she sounded like went, "And I'll always be effing walking on sunshine."
Dear.
And it was a bit like, I trained at RADA, I was in Shakespeare, and you will remember me for that. The only thing you remember. A little insight into the mind of Katrina there, I felt.
Some of them embrace it, and some of them can seem quite bitter at times, but
others not so happy.
One of the things I'm afraid I'm going to have to go and do my live show soon. I wanted to ask you. I heard that you were involved with a scandal recently involving a duck. Is that true?
Oh, yes, the evil duck. Yes, she's gone now. I went back on Friday and she's gone. Her little nest is empty. There's just some eggshells. From what I can gather. This duck has nested in this kind of like planter outside of school for a number of years, and feels quite safe and secure. So I went there one morning and I saw her, and I was like, there's a duck there. And spoke to the school, and they said, oh yeah, she's on her second clutch of eggs. As I was leaving at lunchtime, I thought, I'm just going to stroke her like you do. And she pet me really hard, not surprisingly. So obviously it wasn't her friend then. Went back this week, and there's just like down. And I said, oh, where's she gone? Where's she gone? Yeah, I knew where she'd gone, under the wheels of my car. No, she didn't. she's hatched her brood, and then she's off. So our paths may never cross again.
She's probably got a record deal as well, like the dinosaurs.
She's known for pecking people, pensioners as they cross the road to get the pension and stuff like that, and lurking. That was my duck. I don't know what I expected, whether she'd kind of like allow me to have stroked her like a cat, or she pecked me.
You're used to tweaks but not pecks. Lee, thank you so much for talking with me tonight. I'd like to, if you're free another time, I've got lots of other questions for you. Actually, before we go, I do have some random questions for you. I have a random question generator here, if I randomly generate some questions, if the questions are stupid and you haven't got an answer, that's fine, but I shall just quickly, before we go, ask you some random questions. Oh, here we go. So, here we go. First question. What was your favourite subject in school?
It was art, because I liked to draw pictures.
Cool. And what was your least favourite?
OPE.
Same.
I forged a letter for the last 3 years of my school life from my mum saying that I had a sore heart ankle, and they knew full well. But yes, no, we don't do. We don't like changing rooms and that kind of
Yeah, I went to a school for 2 years between 11 and 13 where they where they did lots more sport than you'd usually do, I managed to get out of it with sick notes for my least favourites as well. Next question is, what three things do you think of the most each day? Do you think about the most each day?
Oh, one is usually when I wake up and go, oh, I'm still tired, I want to go back to sleep. Two is what work I've got to do and what stuff I have to load into my car. And three is unicorns.
Of course.
So quite varied.
Yes, that's very varied. So next question, what's your favourite zoo animal?
Zoo animal?
Yes.
Oh, I do like going to the zoo.
Yeah.
I went to Chester Zoo last year, and I was very enamoured by these. They weren't prairie dogs; they were kind of like Australian bush dog type things, and they were very cute. I spent quite a lot of time just watching them. But it would change, I would imagine.
I've been to Chester Zoo. I remember that being a nice zoo.
Yeah, I would. Usually, it's the elephant, the baby elephant, anything that's kind of cute looking.
Yeah, yeah. Next question: what's the most daring thing you've ever done?
Most daring thing I've ever done. I don't really do daring things because I'm scared of hurting myself.
You stood up to that duck. That's something.
Yeah, I stood up to that duck, yeah, so that was massively daring. I think the most daring thing I ever did was when I was at school, and we had music, and every term we had to do like a music test quiz test thing. So we actually had to sing a song. So usually everyone just like went to the books that we had in school and picked the same song. So it was Streets of London, most people's song. I decided one year that I was going to sing Michael Jackson's Thriller for my singing test. So I said to the music teacher, I'm going to sing Michael Jackson's Thriller. And he said, well, I can't play that on the piano, so you're going to have to sing it by yourself. So I remember singing Michael Jackson's Thriller in this really sort of high-pitched, wavery voice. And I even did the rap bit from Vincent Price. And then when I finished, the classroom was in complete silence. And as I sat down, I whacked my head on the table.
Oh, no.
And then I got a round of applause. So that was probably the most daring thing I've ever done.
That's pretty daring. Until next week, when you have to talk to the porn star on your podcast.
Yes, and I have to not make inappropriate
comments,
questions.
Yeah. Two more questions. The next one: what would you do if you won the lottery?
It would have to be a substantial amount of money.
Yes.
I'd like to go travelling. I would like to just go, goodbye everybody, and go and visit all the places that I've never been able to visit, but would like to.
Yes.
So I'd like to do like safari in Africa and go to Egypt and travel. And then when I've got that out of my system, just buy a house up there and just, you know.
I know you have had trips to American stuff, but we'll talk about that next time you're on, and because I know you had a few trips, haven't you?
But I'd like to, you know, that whole kind of Australia.
Oh, yes.
All that kind of stuff. I want to go to Pompeii this year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to Italy, and I want to go to Pompeii because I've always been fascinated by that, the kind of going and looking around the actual city of Pompeii, because I'm a bit morbid.
Yes, I was thinking of going there sometime as well. My last question is, do you collect anything?
I collect anything that is sparkly and glittery, so that could be anything. I'm sat at my desk now and I'm looking, and on one shelf I have a golden unicorn with wings. On the other shelf I have a silver pug with a crown on. So yeah, it's quite eclectic, but a bit of bling.
I think it's quite positive seeing all sparkly stuff. I was watching RuPaul's Drag Race the other day, and I was thinking, it's always such bright colours. It always kind of, even if they're fighting it, I always end up feeling quite happy at the end because it's all so positive and bright and shiny.
Yeah, I went into Primark recently, and the men's kind of section was really boring. Everything was kind of in like muted colours and a bit beige, and then you kind of go to the women's section, it's like sparkle sequins, and the children's, yeah, and I just think, why do they not make sparkly things for men? They probably do, but yeah, life's a bit better with a bit of sparkle.
I think so. Well, Lee, thanks very much for talking to us. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again. There's lots of other things.
It was very enjoyable.
And everyone, listeners, listen to Chewing the Cud. It's on YouTube, isn't it?
It's on YouTube. It is on iTunes. I believe it is on Periscope, and I believe it is on Facebook.
Yes. So lots of ways of watching or listening to Chewing the Cud, and it's a good show. I listen.
Yay.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll speak to you again soon.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Well, there you go. That's about all we've got time for. I hope you enjoyed that chat with Lee and I. Hopefully Lee will be back, and hopefully we'll have less problems with the whole recording, the whole setup. But it's been quite frustrating, I'm sure you'll agree. But anyway, let's just hope the next episode there's no sign of Zap. We've got quite a lot of episodes in store for you. I just have to decide which is the next one we present. But until then, take care. Join us again soon. And, bye-bye for now. Bye then. Take care. Bye.
What's this? Bobby. Oh, I think this was a Sutton Park clip. Oh, Martin and Cromarty never had time to present it. I wonder what it sounds like.
Thank you for a nice day, Auntie. A nice tea. I just couldn't say what Barlow is.
Right now, Barlow. Oh, blimey. What a nice day we've had, but we haven't had time to get to the box and see the gun. Come on, Barlow, let's have a look before Paul gets back.
Come on, Barlow, stop mucking around.
I hope I didn't do the wrong thing.
Hi, Ick. How are you doing?
Oh, sorry, Paul. I think I may have pressed play on a Sutton Park clip. Did you hear that?
I did, yes.
Did you recognise it?
To be honest, only vaguely. I mean, I've not seen or heard many clips of Sutton Park until we started presenting them on the show. I've not heard them for years.
Gosh, it must be weird. It must be like watching a completely different person.
It is a bit, yes. How are you doing? Why didn't we see you on the show today?
Oh, Paul, I was feeling a bit bad.
Why? Why were you feeling bad?
Oh, well, I feel guilty. I feel responsible for all the wicked stuff that Zap's been up to. If you hadn't have met me, you would never have encountered Zap.
That's not true. That's not true at all. Don't you remember? Tappy had met Zap years ago when he pretended to be a boyfriend. And if you remember, we first met Zap when he was pretending to be Nathan, Bettina's boyfriend.
Oh, yes, I'm sure he was only doing that because of me. I don't mean to say that it's all about me, but, well, I'm sure I'm sure I was to blame.
Well, whatever the reason, you're not responsible. You're not responsible for Zap's actions. What he does is bullying. Bullying of the highest degree. Whether he does all these weird things because of you, or he doesn't like the fact that we're your friends, I don't care. You're part of the gang, and we support you.
Oh, Paul, thank you. Oh, well. It does make me sad.
Well, don't be sad. Why don't I make some lemonade and we'll sit down and watch some more Sutton Park?
Oh, yes, Paul, that would be nice. Maybe you'll start to remember things.
Yes, maybe I will. Filming Sutton Park was always good fun.
You always do look like you're enjoying yourselves.
I guess so, yes. Come on, let me go and get that lemonade.
Oh, Paul, I'm glad you're here.
Glad you're here. Let's get the rest of the end theme music played.
Oh, yes, OK. Sorry, listeners.
It's quite long.
No. Hey, that's insulting.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.
Okay, bye.
You always do look like you're having fun. He's not that shy.
Oh, I hope he hasn't found out my secret. Do you think he has?
179.
Unified, unique
voices.
Unified,
unique voices.
A network of inclusion.
Univazpods.net.
Yes. Yes. I just hope this is going to work.
What are you doing, Cromarty?
Oh, I... nothing, Martin. Nothing. Well, I'm trying to send a message out through space.
Oh, blimey. Who are you sending it to? Oh, to Zap.
Yes, exactly. Trying to send a message out to Zap.
Oh, blimey. I wonder if he'll hear it.
I think he'll hear it. Oh, yes. I think he'll hear it. Oh, I've been so evil. So evil. Yes. I managed to interrupt their recording today. Yes. Yeah, that's all that matters. That I cause as much havoc as possible. It makes me pleased. What? What's that? I'm picking up a strange message. It's transmitting from Earth. What is it? Oh, let me listen. Hello? Hello. This is me, Cromarty. It's me, Cromarty. This is a message for Zap. I know you can hear me. I just want to say that you may try all you like, but you will never stop us producing the Shy Life podcast. Oh, I beg to differ. I'll do all I can. Stupid idiot. What an idiot. I heard that. I could hear you. You must listen. Listen to my voice. Zap, you must listen to my voice. You must understand. You are in my power. You are in my power. I am in your power. I am in your power. Just a minute. No, I'm not. Oh, dear, oh, dear. That Cromarty is trying to hypnotise me. Oh, how dare he. What does he think he's playing at? Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, my head went all funny for a moment. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, they think that's the last they've seen of me. They're much mistaken. I will be back. I will be back.
Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Oh,
bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Oh, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. I was getting an echo. Yeah, worst thing that happened to me with Skype was I was going to be on a show in the States, and I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning,
but I hadn't done like any Skype checks beforehand. Just thought that it would be just be really simple to go in and do it, and it wasn't. So not only was I like only had 3 hours sleep, but I was trying to work out why Skype wasn't working, and in the end I had to give up. But I was most disappointed. Oh, it's a nightmare.
But this seems to be working fine. Yeah. There's a little. I can just see a little face in a tiny circle.
I can see.
And I presume if I press this button with the video thing, the video will come on. But we're not doing that.
Yeah, it might break the internet. Not because of our faces, just because. Ha ha ha.